Your father was a computer scientist. Your mother was a musician. When the spaceship lands, how do they communicate?
That's a very good question. I like that. You've answered the question.
They make music on their computers, and they are able to speak to each other.
You see, I'd love to say, you know, I intended that, and I realized that was my mother and father, but not until this moment.
Hi, I'm Danny Boyd, and this is CinemaSticks. I've talked about Steven Spielberg before, about how his legendary status as a blockbuster director comes not only from scale, but from his ability to communicate story and suspense through detail, in visual language, in character blocking, and through highly inventive and dynamic framing. Today, I want to look at Spielberg again, but from a new angle, to peer into what it is that makes the man a great structural and thematic storyteller, using as a case study his iconic foray into alien pictures, through Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and War of the Worlds. Because upon revisiting these films recently, I noticed something very interesting. Looking back, each of Spielberg's classic alien movies can be broken down into a common trinity of what I would call distinct character factions. One, the fractured family. Two, the reactive establishment. And three, the alien other. These factions exist in each movie. What changes is which two factions are allied and which one gets designated the role of the antagonist. So let's begin with Spielberg's first alien film and third theatrical feature ever, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Released in 1977, the film follows Roy Neary, an excitable lineman who has an encounter with a UFO, our alien other, during a citywide blackout. In his pursuit of the truth, Roy allies with the mother of an abducted boy, and later with a team of scientists. That's a reactive establishment, a group responding to the existence of non-terrestrial life, in order to witness first contact between alien life and Earth. But in doing so, Roy alienates himself from his wife and children, forcing the fractured family.
I don't want to hear about this,
Ronnie. This is very important. I'm not just going to let it lay here. I'm going to call somebody about this. There's nothing... Ronnie, I saw something last night that I can't explain.
Close Encounters may famously not have quote-unquote bad guys, but the fractured family becomes narratively the de facto antagonist to our main character. They are the entity blocking Roy from his pursuit of the truth. While certainly sympathetic, they don't understand Roy's experiences and increasingly erratic behavior. The unbelieving party in a journey built on fervent curiosity and belief.
All right, Roy, I really think you proved your point out.
On the other hand, the team of scientists, the reactive establishment, seen throughout the film interpreting the various signals being sent to Earth, reflect Roy's worldview. They stumble towards discovery as an intellectual imperative, even if they sometimes look like children doing it. And lastly, the alien other, in Close Encounters, exists as mysterious but critically benign entities. The UFOs represent a foreign intelligence, a possibility of companionship in a lonely universe, and a mirror of humanity. In the climax, we see the establishment finally make contact with the alien mothership through a universal musical pattern. Revealing them as a beneficent race, ready to peacefully engage in the exchange of knowledge with humankind, with Roy as the chosen human subject. And with that, we have our first orientation of factions and our protagonist position among them, the reactive establishment and Roy ultimately in alliance with the alien other and the fractured family in opposition. I'll discuss the thematic implications of this in a little bit, but let's now compare that structure to our next film because E.T. takes those same players but shifts them around. In 1982, Spielberg's exploration into the possibility of companionship was given a face in the form of the alien E.T. The film follows Elliot, the middle child of his own already fractured family, after the abandonment of his father, forging an unbreakable bond with a similarly abandoned creature, and fending off a band of government agents, this film's reactive establishment, to get the alien other back home to his ship. Once again, the same three factions, only this time a new alliance has emerged, and a new antagonist along with it. Instead of the family standing in the protagonist's way, it's the establishment that does. The film harbors a deep suspicion for the government agents, scientists, and law enforcement who are in pursuit of E.T., and while they may hold the same imperative and incessant curiosity as the scientists in Close Encounters, it is now targeted at a young, vulnerable creature and character. The main antagonist, Keyes, shown in perspective from only the waist up for more than half of the film, is eventually revealed to be compassionate, but only after harm has already been done. And so, where Close Encounters united alien and establishment, rejecting the family, E.T. rotates the alignment, uniting alien and family against the establishment, leaving Spielberg with just one final structural orientation left to be explored, which he would do 20 years later, in War of the Worlds. Well past the unfettered optimism of the 80s and deep into a fearful post-9/11 landscape, Spielberg in 2005 would direct his adaptation of H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, a film which follows Ray, a hard-knocks father to his own fractured family, who fumblingly and ineptly strives to protect his children in an invasion by a very dangerous, very powerful, very destructive alien other, alongside the panic-stricken masses of humanity and their military, our new reactive establishment. As before, the factions are clear, but for the first time, the unknown entity is not a benevolent one. This was new for Spielberg. The alien other is hostile, and with him so powerful, with him so bluntly serving the role of the antagonist, the family and the establishment are forced together for survival. Now, their allyship is not always pretty. Tremendous conflict arises out of desperation, greed, envy, loss, fleeting rationality in a world at the brink of collapse. But the connections formed under duress and the changes the protagonist experiences with his relationship to both his family and to the establishment reveal a film of a very different thematic fabric to the two that came so long before it. And that's what I want to examine now. Now that we've outlined our factions in each movie, I think a natural question arises. How did the different permutations of the three factions in Spielberg's Alien movies prime his exploration of three different thematic questions, central themes which I believe boil down to communication, empathy, and understanding, with each film evolving and expanding on the one that came before it. Close Encounters is a film about communication and lack of communication.
What? I said what?
Roy is essentially struck by God and cannot adequately articulate the importance of his mission to his wife and children.
I can't describe it. What I'm feeling. This means something.
An inability to communicate with each other, the family dissolves. On the other hand, when Roy is selected by Lacombe and his scientists to commune with the alien other, the awe-filled finale of the film is centered entirely around communication and a desire for contact across species. Alien life functions as perhaps the very ultimate expression of a desire to break through barriers of communication. At the time, for Spielberg, it was never a question of fear and conflict, only awe and wonder.
I had an idea of what a first meeting would be between a benevolent race of beings and our terrestrial race of scientists and people who were chosen to be at that appointed moment. And so I started with that premise that there's going to be a peaceful resolution. When I look up at the sky at night and I see those stars, I can't imagine, you know, that a recon group from 10 light years away with all that technology and all that experience of not destroying themselves over the eons would come here with malintent. So it's just never been in my vocabulary to do it any other way.
That interview was given in 1999. We'll see in a moment how Spielberg's willingness to entertain a less wonderful reality would change just a couple short years later. But First, let's talk about E.T., because E.T. orbits a slightly different theme. Still a sense of wonder, still an element of communicating with a creature from beyond, no doubt about that.
E.T. Home phone.
The deeper theme that I feel E.T. really built upon is empathy. From the beginning, Elliot and his family are feeling the pain of being left by their father, and so they learn to empathize with a being from another planet who has also lost family. Contrary to Close Encounters, Elliot doesn't harbor E.T. out of some individualistic desire for knowledge, but a desire to protect and help. Their entire arc together is an exercise in the ache and beauty of empathetic pain and healing. They are stabilizing, grounding forces for one another, and when one is hurt, the other is affected. Elliot's siblings and mother align with Elliot and E.T., their shared empathy reunifying a fractured family. The film explores near-universal experiences, yet it's the literal magic and sense of otherness that E.T.'s character brings to the story as a being from another world that allow those experiences to be distilled into such a simple and powerful story. In a way, I believe Spielberg knew no other character or type of character could ever so symbolically and elementally provide. And all of that brings us back to War of the Worlds. A different scope, a different era, Ray is a character who cannot communicate or empathize with his own family, but what this really synthesizes into is an inability to understand them.
What?
It's not how you're gonna get through to him. If you want him to listen to you,
What are you, your mother or mine?
Only when pushed to the brink by both alien and human-caused horror does Ray make inroads towards a more compassionate relationship with, well, anyone.
The walk tracking camera. Third place.
Spielberg leverages an otherworldly global threat as the most heightened and cinematic inciting incident to set Ray down that path, a massive backdrop to what is otherwise essentially a pretty intimate film centered around just three characters and their limited perspective of the circumstances surrounding them. Across the film, we see only what they see and understand only what they understand. By exploring an alien race that is so ruthless and so massive in scale, Spielberg presents an antagonist that simply cannot be understood. The film doesn't resolve because either of the other two factions or the protagonist comes to understand or empathize with or communicate with the aliens or their plight or their weakness. It resolves surely due to these creatures' chance and fundamental incompatibility with the Earth. Three films, three decades, three factions, and three permutations of those factions. Spielberg's exploration of aliens is an exploration of human nature, and surprisingly not human nature or humanity on some vast scale, but rather a granular look at the connections we form and sever and strive for every single day, simply put against a backdrop of cinematic proportions in a way only Steven Spielberg could. I'm Danny Boyd. This is Cinema Sticks. Thank you so much for watching. Never know.